feeding Ned's dogs?
I'm taking care of the dogs.
You're the dog girl.
I'm the dog girl.
Life treating you a little rough?
Sue, Joyceanna was looking for you a minute ago. They're leaving to go buy a car. And so, but they need to have, they wanted you, she wanted you to make lunch for the boys.
Yeah.
Because they're going somewhere, I guess. You can't understand how loud that is until you turn it off. This is us. This is disgusting.
This is your life's work.
The fruit of 35 years of labor.
Let's come down to this.
Never mind.
What?
No.
You make us think.
Huh?
That's right.
Well, I was just thinking, if I'm upset by the fruit of my labor, just think of what you're upset by.
Yeah. Look at it from our point of view. Come on, let's go. It's time to go get abused again. Bloom got it right.
What?
Bloom got it right.
What?
Otis, the dyslexic prophet that lives in the dumpster and comes out once a day to administer punishment to anybody that will listen.
That wasn't about
it's
me.
It's a whole chapter.
That wasn't about
no,
me.
No, probably not. It's like the sperm whale making love to a Hoover vacuum cleaner factory wasn't about me.
What?
Never mind. Leave that one alone.
That's over mine.
We've been talking about authenticity and what it means. Anybody have any thoughts about it? Any response? Any expansions on the tale?
Just the etymology of the word itself, the author. You know, it's from the author, from the originator of the original source. Just when you say that word, that's where it has to go to be authentic. Any other places of me.
Did you look that word up to find that etymology?
No, I just threw that out there to see what.
Because I don't think that's the etymology of the word, but maybe I'm wrong.
Look up etymology.
Well, bugs have etymology. The essence of the word, forget the etymology part, the essence of the word isn't that how it strikes you, the authenticity?
No, I would have never thought of that, but you may very well be right.
Yeah, but it feels right.
Okay.
Are you still smoking marijuana?
Not physically.
The whole mystery. There's a theology among the that's current and rampant about, you know, the great tribulation is going to happen, where that everybody's going to go through all kinds of stuff. And to me, that's a part of this dispensationalism thing, because the Great Tribulation is all of time and space, and it's especially true in Greek, when it has a definite article, like when we're going to go to Romans 5 in a minute, but it says we glory in tribulation. It's got a definite article there. It says, we glory in the tribulation. And that's the same. That's the whole idea of the tribulation. It's just, we are all walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That's where we live. And in that valley of the shadow of death, we do everything we can to blind ourselves to the idea that that's where we are. And we have all kinds of illusions about what we're going to do and what our purpose is and how we're going to, and we make up value systems, but it's all in the valley of the shadow of death. It is all in the Great Tribulation. And the Great Tribulation is this process, this assaying process that we've been talking about. It's the assaying of the gold, the trying or the testing of the gold. And the gold ore is contained inside these, you know, it doesn't matter whether it started out, you know, like in Arizona, I spent much of my life there panning gold. Because you could really find gold. You could go out you go into this one particular place, the Box Canyon. It was great. Now, you find the place where the sand is darkest because that's the heaviest, and then beneath that or in that is the gold. And so you pan it. You pan it, and you find gold flecks and gold pieces, and every once in a while, if you're lucky, you find a gold nugget. But even that gold didn't just come there because it sort of happened. It came there because of the tribulation on the mountain that totally over thousands of years has eroded everything that would erode, and what was left was gold.
That sand used to be a rock.
So the whole process, that's why if we look at God as not some little regional deity that is sort of involved with our lives, I mean, God is doing a thing, and it's the thing that he's using is the Great Tribulation. That's why I've always said that the purpose of time and space is antagonism. It isn't for you to learn anything. It isn't for you to be anything. It isn't for you to become something. It's for antagonism. That all of the process that you, of the false value systems that you have created, which are symbolized in the gold inside the quartz, that's the only thing that's going on in the world. That's the only thing that's going on from the kingdom of God standpoint. And the vanity of each one of these little hunks of quartz is so complete that they create purposes and goals and plans and ideas for them as that little piece of quartz that contains a gold. So, you know, you run around and you have all these great ideas of what you're going to do to have a fulfilling life. And anybody sound, does it sound familiar to anybody else?
It never works out. Life coaches.
Huh? Oh yeah. Now we got life. What the hell does that mean? That's what I'm a life coach. That's really what I do. I'm a coach. Yeah, right. But do you understand this? I'm trying to get us to think on the broadest possible scale. The only purpose of time and space is this antagonism. And the only purpose of the antagonism is to find the authenticity, to find that which is indivisible. Why is gold so valuable? Gold can sit at the bottom of the ocean, a gold coin, and it's still the same brightness as when they made it. It sat there for hundreds or thousands of years. Because gold isn't corrupted. That's the real meaning of corruption. Now, if you want to look at corruption, look at yourself compared to what you were in your quote-unquote prime.
3 weeks ago.
There's nothing. You're not advancing anywhere. You're not getting better with age.
Marching to the abyss.
You're not learning anything. But your mind, your mind cannot accept this. Because the mind has to have, because the fall is so complete, the mind has to have an isolated individual purpose. That's why we've invented Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Where in the hell did that come from? That's not in the Bible anywhere.
That's a personal coach.
Well, that's what they've made him into, be a personal life coach. So when you walk on the beach... No, no, I won't go there.
That's such a tacky metaphor.
Shut up, Sue.
When we look back, the kitten had safely been placed on the...
No, I mean, do y'all get these emails? And no matter what I do, I can't block them, it seems like. Because most of them come from my cousin. But it's got all these harebrained things about, send this to all the people. If you don't, you don't love them.
Sacrilegious?
No. That's sickeningly sweet.
Oh, saccharine.
It is so saccharine. It's so phony. It is so the antithesis of the mystery of God. But it's nice. It's like a little warm puppy or something. But it's a lie. As a believer, the only thing you are to come to is the place where you don't exalt yourself or get all hyped because something went well, because you know that's the lie. You get hyped and know that everything is, that you're in the will of God when there's affliction, when there's suffering. Now, it doesn't mean you go run out and try to find suffering. I promise you, it'll find you. But the constant thing that happens in your life, and trust me, is you do everything, and the human race does everything in its power to avoid conflict. You understand that? You understand how that's been a motivating, maybe the most important motivating factor in your life? Because we don't glory in the affliction. We glory in the things that are going when it's going well. And so therefore, because we only glory when things are going well, then we all, our real pastor is Joel Osteen. We want to have a pep rally. That's what our mind wants. It wants us to tell us how to be happy, how to be successful, how to get it right, how to have nice children, how to make sure that your children are safe, how to do all of these things that you think that are just part and parcel of the human condition. But they're all a lie. Now, it doesn't mean you go run out and make your children unsafe. But you certainly don't buy into the lie. You understand? What the only thing that produces authenticity is tribulation, is affliction. Because otherwise it's untested. It's meaningless.
I was thinking in terms of we spend our life trying to find the way according to our own comfort zones and the least resistance, and we think that's the way. Thinking of Christ as the way is something else entirely, and it
leads
to tribulation.
Well, and again, the best known psalm in the universe, Psalm 23, not our
Job 23.
Evil friend over here, it's Job 23. Psalm 23 has this incredible statement. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yeah. And what do you think? What do you think the rod and the staff is?
The things you don't like.
If I have learned anything, I mean, I haven't changed anything that I'm teaching since I became a believer. But I know that I know that I know that his rod and his staff comfort me. Now, they don't comfort me with regard to my life here. My mind still despises it. My mind, if I pay any attention, certainly would never glory in tribulation. And therefore, my mind could never know authenticity, because there is no, my mind would always go towards men, you know, the basic level movement. We go toward pleasure or comfort and away from pain or conflict. That's what your mind does. That's what every man's mind in the universe that has ever lived, except one, has done. That's the fruit of the fall. What?
I was just thinking of an example of the rod and staff comforting. Because when we've said in meetings and the preaching has been the most devastating and hardest, universally people walk out comforting. You know, they've been, you know, blown to smithereens, so to speak. There's a tremendous sense of peace and comfort because of the power of the law.
Well, it's the power of the cross. Yeah. But the whole mystery of you know, everybody since the day I began teaching and opening my mouth, even when I was on radio, it was always been, oh, well, you're just emphasizing one side of the cross. You have to have balance and emphasize the other side of the cross. I promise you, if you emphasize the other side of the cross, you will quickly, almost before you finish the breath, you will have adopted the Cerinthian heresy. You will come to the point, as all men naturally believe, that gain is godliness. That the evidence that God is blessing you is that you're healthy, or that your children are nice, or that, you know, they made it through something, or that you have, you know, and again, it's not an accident that we're talking about this just before there's a whole raft of kids graduating from college right now, our kids. And, you know, I can't help but be massively happy for them and proud. But not because they have graduated, but because they can never use the fact that they didn't graduate as an excuse for them to be in an if-only world. Does that compute?
Yep.
I'm overjoyed that Becca and Russell and all of them, they've gone over to Europe, and they've and what's her name, Haley, went all over the place and lived there for a year or more, and had to experience that culture. And she knows that there's not, you know, that there's not any Paris for her or any. That's why we did what we did when we started the school. Remember, we had the meetings about, we've got to just equip them to do everything, to push all barriers, to go to the edge of time and space itself. Remember, you remember all the trouble that Doug used to get into because he was a Nazi. He threw a school book at one of the students. And he also, his favorite statement, and he taught in the living room where I could hear him, was, because I told you so, that's why. He got in more trouble over that one statement than he ever did in anything else that happened to him. Because that produces tyranny. If you tell a child, because I told you so, I mean, look at the results. It's Harry.
What's amusing me is that's what he would accuse you of.
I've never told him to do anything.
Of course not, but that's what he would accuse you of.
Well, I'm not worried about that, but I'm just saying to you that the idea of the way we've raised our children, all of you should be proud, not because they've accomplished, but because they cannot use the fact that they didn't as an excuse for their failure. And so if they excuse their failure, then there is no, this book hasn't done its function. If Harry continues to excuse his failure because he's getting old, that's the same thing. You can't do that anymore. oh, I'm getting this. You can't have an excuse. Because if you have an excuse, you have automatically lost authenticity. It's as automatic as breathing. Does anybody understand me? This has to go all the way back. This is how you combat this evil one, this mind of yours, because your mind has a thousand if onlys, a thousand million excuses. And every excuse you have makes the cross of Christ of none effect and keeps that part of you alive, because the excuse will cause the if only. Right. Now Harry's mad at me.
No, but I don't know what you mean by using getting old as an excuse for failure. What failure?
Well, you do it all the time. You did it with regard to us going to California. You use my physical condition and your old age as an excuse not to want to go to California. And that's fine, but I just want you to know what you're doing. We don't have to think in that frame of reference.
Well, even if you're right.
That's what I'm saying. You don't matter. It doesn't matter, because my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. If it is of God, it'll be fine. If it's not, it'll be fine anyway. But the point of it is, we automatically do it. We don't know we do it. And what we do is, the moment we justify, the moment there's an if only, and what have we done? Christ didn't deign to die for me in that area.
Well, if I could for a second, what troubles me is not what you said, but what the things that trouble me now are, would be fear of failure. It's like, when you ask me to do something, my immediate reaction is, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm going to fail at doing that.
But isn't,
and then everything comes from that.
I understand, but that's the same thing that's been your motivator your entire life.
Well, it's making me really crazy.
Well, it's time to put it away. It's a childish thing. You don't have to do it anymore.
Everything.
Ever. Ever again.
Everything.
Ever again. You never have to do it again. This could be the end of it.
Well, how do I not do that?
Because you don't give any thought to tomorrow. You don't give any thought to resources.
Well, okay, I understand, don't sit and play with it, but
you're instantaneous.
You ask me to do something, and this thing comes up. It's not,
stop.
Like I had 30 seconds to think about it.
But isn't this the same excuse you used to use for anger?
I understand that,
okay.
But I don't know how to not do that.
It's the same thing. It's the same idol.
Okay, I still don't know how to not do that.
Well, it's...
No, the anger thing, I pretty much am able to go, wait a minute, we've been down this road before, we're not going here again, but it tries to come up. But the fear thing, I'm not able to catch that yet.
It's the same guy. It's the same Molech. It's providing you an excuse for failure.
It's like the only thing.
Well, I've told you this ever since the day I met you, that the guiding thing that's happened, the engine for Harry is guilt. And that's why I keep telling you. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it may happen this morning, it may happen this afternoon, but I know something's going to be said. You're going to take a breath. You're going to look at something, and you're going to say, my God, I'm forgiven.
I believe that. I do believe that. I can feel it. It's almost there.
But from my perspective, the only way that I can know that I'm forgiven and continually walk in that is to walk in continual abandonment of self, which fortunately for me is what repentance means. That's why the slightest inkling of I has to be repented of, even as if I had murdered the Pope. Because I've done more than that. I've murdered the Son of God. And that's all I know, is that the repentance has to go deeper.
I don't doubt that.
So, because that's the only place that there is true integrity. Because, again, we're not going to get there, but this thing that goes, we glory in tribulation. Why? We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now we're going to spend a few days on those few verses, because that, the fruit of that, tribulation, patience, experience, hope, that's the scriptural way for saying authenticity. But the engine for the authenticity is tribulation, affliction. And there's no question that in some of you, you believe your affliction comes from me. And I wouldn't be doing my job if that wasn't true.
I don't think that.
Right now.
No, I don't.
Harry.
No, I think it comes from God.
But I know, but we've had this discussion.
Well, sure, you're a giant pain in the ass as far as I'm concerned, but I don't think of you as a first source.
Well, I know, but you don't. When you get mad,
oh, well,
you
I'm
don't
not
go
thinking
through
of anything.
You don't go through first sources.
No.
It's
when,
just
when
you just want to kill me.
Just you or anybody else.
Well, that's right. But who is that mostly you're mad at?
Not mostly you.
Oh, that's good. That's an improvement.
No, I'm starting to spread it around.
Okay.
But it's really all based on...
Anyway, the point of it is that, again, in order to find your authenticity or your place of authenticity, you can no longer avoid conflict. And whether it's in your marriage, because every place that you've avoided conflict, you've had a truce. It can't be in your marriage, it can't be in your relationship to me, it can't be in your relationship to anybody. Because the conflict, and again, conflict avoidance is the nature of the beast. That's this thing's function. And sometimes, I mean, even if you're in a leadership position, you're the one that isn't out there, you still want to avoid conflict. So do I. I would love it if I didn't ever again have to nail you. I believe it. I mean, I know you say Gary, I'm talking to now, but you say you think Ole likes to make people mad at him, but I really don't. And you've said it in your head a lot of times since then. But anyway, that's not about me. Let's. I mean, just be aware of how often, how much of your day is spent in conflict avoidance. And you had to learn how to do it. You had to be taught the value of that in order that you could have made it this far. In other words, so it was an activity in one of the seven high places. It's a constant activity on one of these seven mountains of your mind. It's a constant activity. It's and some of you have learned it very well because you had to learn it for survival. But it's time. Now that the temple is fully dedicated, that the conflict avoidance no more be, because you glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation, authenticity. Remember, because all of the conflict avoidance is the religion that you have set up in you as the temple of the living God that is in opposition to the real function of you as the temple. I'm going to quit on time because Josanna isn't here. Anybody have any questions? Or everybody understands perfectly?
For me, conflict avoidance is I have our argument in my head, and then I'm done, you know, and I walk away from you after I've killed you.
After you win.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the end result of it is. That's what everybody does. It's just more obvious with you.
Glad I could be of service.
No, I mean, all of us. That's what we all do. That's what I did to that woman the other morning I told you about. That I killed that woman when I was swimming because she was goofy in my mind. And so, and it's just like, my God, how evil is this thing? Remember, the bottom line, and I think everybody desires authenticity. You want to be real. You don't want to be just trying to be all the time and sort of, you know, sort of one step away from the edge. Or all right, take a big guy. Pray for John and Jason not to get taken by the used